Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Roofing, and Restoration. For service, call 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. We really appreciate Carlos and his support of this ministry. I want to also remind everybody that the Folds of Honor are obviously honoring veterans, raising money for family members to have scholarships. They have their fifth annual Patriot Shootout Golf Tournament, the Santa Ana Golf Course. You can go to newmexico.foldsofhonor.org and click on events and sign up for that. They are soon to be out of spaces, but if you like playing in those scrambles, which is the only way that I can actually play golf, make it all the way around a golf course in less than 12 hours. So I think you'll have some fun being out there for that. That's the New Mexico Folds of Honor. And our own Steve Ryman is going to be out there hitting balls. You may want to take shelter when Steve swings, but I'm teasing him because he's in the other room looking at me, and hopefully he's laughing. Want to welcome to our studio today Pastor David Breitenbach and Angela Breitenbach, his better half, and we're talking about the Spiritual Orphans Network. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Third time on the show.
Yes.
I'm hoping that we get a lot of people that find out all about what you're doing in Eastern Europe and former communist countries. And you have some really interesting things to tell us about how communism has affected people in such a difficult way. But before we go anywhere, last time you were on, you had a young lady named Anna Maria Gross.
Yes, you remember.
And she's from Croatia, right?
From Ukraine.
Ukraine. And she's here in school in the United States. I want to just check on her well-being. She's doing okay. She's in school up in Minnesota, seminary.
I just text messaged with her this morning to check on her. And she is – it's a two-year school.
I'm impressed with the way you showed me texting. That was a double thumb.
Yes, it was.
Most of the people our age are single thumb,
my friend. No, I've
you're the
double
thumb. You've got it down.
Well, I've got to be able to communicate.
I can't do it. I can type. I can type, but the double thumb texting thing, I cannot do.
I know. It's a skill. Definitely. Anna Maria was saying that she's really having a good year. She's made a lot of new friends and really looking forward to what the year has in store. They're in classes full-time, so they're not virtual.
Oh.
That's been a really great experience. It's a private college, so they have that option. And she's excited to come back here to Albuquerque for the holidays as well.
Angela, do you talk with her a little bit?
I've not talked with her a whole lot. I do check in with her, and she's a 19-year-old young lady, and she's working hard, and English is not her heart language, so she has to work extra hard in classes, but she loves it, and as David said, she's making a lot of friends, and that's great. That's what we're all about. We're all about connecting people and those relationships.
That's right, and like a typical teenager, we were talking also about a new cell phone when she comes back, so there you go.
There you go. That's important. In fact, I just got a book, and I probably should have grabbed the title of it, not knowing this topic would come up, but it's about literally fasting from social media and from, devices.
Yes.
Because people can't even put them down for a day.
No. No. And I'm guilty of that, but of course we can now justify it because we're locked into we're social distancing, so we need to stay in touch, right?
That's a good rationalization. Sure. David, tell us about the Spiritual Orphans Network and all that you do.
Sure. Spiritual Orphans Network is about 28 years old. It was originally called East European Missions Network, but the ministry has expanded well beyond East Europe. We're in Central Europe. We're in the Baltics. We're in the Balkans. And as of last Monday, we are in Mongolia, and that we had not expected that, but it fits in our wheelhouse. It's a former communist nation. Christianity is brand new there. In fact, they're very eager to begin doing some work with us, and we are with them. But the reason we're there in those former communist nations and Soviet bloc nations is that during the Soviet occupation, it was forbidden to have any relationship with a supernatural being. So it's not just Christianity, but whether you were Buddhist, whether you were Muslim, anything of that sort. It was forbidden. You had to worship the government. You had to worship whoever the dictatorial leader at the time was. And so you had three generations of people who grew up literally not understanding that there's God, much less a God who loves them. And we're three generations, or rather 30 years, separated from the fall of the Soviet Union, but it's still a very long haul. You have hundreds of millions of people who need spiritual mothers and fathers to come alongside them and help them understand that they're loved.
And are the governments cooperative in allowing you now into the countries and talking with people?
It depends on the government. Mm. Ironically enough, when we're teaching in Russia, we often teach in the public schools. Now, that's changed since 2016, but we can't do that here. We can't teach religious Bible schools and camps in public schools, but we can in some of these countries where we serve. Some countries are very open. It depends really on the leader and even on the regional leader, but others like Belarus, it's forbidden. We can't go there to do English Bible camps.
Mm-hmm. Angela, I want to talk to you a little bit about your part in the ministry. You're doing a lot of education, and you're also running the operations. So let's first tackle how our listeners can come alongside you. And we're going to do this a couple times today during the program, but obviously COVID's affected giving with a lot of different organizations. And so tell us how people can come alongside you and give. I know you're making plans for mission trips coming up next summer, and all of those plans are still pretty fluid. We don't know how COVID's gonna, but you know, if somebody makes an investment in travel and these kind of things, are those things that can be delayed and recovered if there's changes?
Absolutely. You probably heard this from missionaries that have been on your show before. The number one single thing that you have to have as a missionary is the ability to be flexible.
Mm.
And so that has really been challenged for us in this crazy season. But we did have, and I will answer your question on how people can plug in,
sure.
But we did have people who were signed up to go last summer and we couldn't physically go. And those funds are just being held for them until they are able to join us again physically. We had some virtual camps last summer. But in terms of plugging in with us, you know, we're just like most organizations, we have a website. And so our web address is Sun Network, but with one N. So SONETWORK.org. And of course, that stands for Spiritual Orphans Network. And it's important that we recognize that we're not networking spiritual orphans, okay? Mm. We are a group of people who are networked to serve these people that find themselves in just this spiritual darkness and this lack of hope. And so,
and that's really a cultural thing. It's permeated the entire culture.
It absolutely is. And so not only was religion completely removed in these countries, but human life was just completely devalued. You know, as a person, you were only as good as the work you could do for the government.
Mm.
And that has not gone away. You know, it left a really big wound that is taking a long time to heal.
I don't mean for this to be a condescending question, but I truly don't know. I mean, in these countries, they have cell phones. They have TV.
Yes.
They're aware of what's going on in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
They get news. They're fairly well fed.
Mm-hmm.
There's jobs. There's a way to make a living. So we're not talking about some of the pervasive poverty that's
correct.
Throughout East India, and our friends at Gospel for Asia are just constantly trying to keep people from starving.
Right.
You're really in an area where the infrastructure, we've used that word before, is really in place,
mm-hmm.
but you just have this void, the spiritual void, and so you're really doing some amazing work there. And I love that's where why they're spiritual orphans, because they just don't have. How are you networking? I want to ask you a people question. Tell me about the people. Are they a lot different than Americans?
Well, I'm going to answer that kind of backwards.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about how we're similar first. Mm. So all people want three basic things. They want to be heard. They want to belong. And they want to be loved. And so, you know, when you're sharing the gospel with someone, you can give them all three of those things. And the response is really, really incredible. They are different in that because of what happened under communism, there is that just darkness, the spiritual darkness, this lack of hope. In most of the areas that we serve, particularly in Eastern Europe, you're looking at some of the highest divorce, suicide, alcoholism, and abortion rates in the world. And that is just a direct result of what happened there. And so it is a palpable feeling when you're there that you can sense this sort of oppression,
hopelessness, and
this darkness. Yeah. And the other thing that was removed from people was a lack of initiative and a lack of choice. Mm-hmm. So when we are presenting the gospel and we present it as a choice, that concept alone can just be overwhelming to people. And so, you know, that's the reason that we go back over and over and over again. We're a relational ministry. And you're right. We don't have to go in and feed people or build a house or dig a well. But just coming alongside them, letting them know that they're not alone in this world it has remarkable results. And so when we talk about Sun Network, there's some hidden meanings there. Because when you bring the light of Christ into that darkness, it's profound. And we have stories. We could stay here all afternoon and do nothing but tell stories about how this work has impacted kids, their families, whole
communities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember Anna Maria.
Yes.
How old is she?
She's 18.
So she's 18. Mm-hmm. So teenager in studio from the Ukraine. And I ask her if her people mm-hmm. were really serious. You guys observe that there was really kind of a lack of joy. But then she did something that I thought was really fun, mm-hmm. which obviously was a testament to your ministry. She showed me how an Eastern European would smile. And then she imitated Americans.
Yes.
So, David, I say all of that because I want to ask you about, do they view the people in Eastern European countries, and I know you haven't worked in Mongolia yet, but maybe they'll have the same impression, is do they think Americans are just nuts and unthankful for things that we have?
No, I feel free to chime in, Angela, but I think in some cases they think that we're terribly naive. Mm-hmm. Simply because we've not had a whole lot inflicted on our own shores. We've not had a government come in and sweep in and dictate what you're going to do. And so there's that naivete, but at the same time, they see a strength because we have that entrepreneurial spirit. We are very open. We do smile very easily, and we're welcoming. And so they covet that. And so there's that love-hate. They love what we represent. I think there's a certain amount that they hate that we do often seem to take it for granted.
Mm. Angela, has working in this ministry changed your life?
Oh my goodness. Yes. God continues to just reveal, new things in me and give me gifts. One of the things that I think has been the most changed is that I have developed patience. I think, you know, sort of as
I thought that was being married to me.
Well, it could be. But just
you may
you
be
know,
on the couch. Tonight.
Yeah,
you
right.
Be careful.
that just having to be flexible. You know, and having to really just give it to God and seeing what he does. I mean,
it's been the mantra of this year, as a matter of fact, patience and anticipation and trusting.
Yeah. Well, we've got a lot more to cover, and we're already halfway through. So I'm sorry to rush you guys, but we got to really, really cover a lot of information here in the second half. We are with Pastor David Breitenbach, his wife Angela. She's the Director of Operations and Youth Education for the Spiritual Orphans Network. Their website is sonetwork.org. That is Sun Network with one N.
Correct. We're also on Facebook and Twitter.
And you taught me that. So we'll be back with more. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Moving with integrity. Slater Transfer and Storage is family-owned with over 30 years in the moving industry. They offer many services to cover all your moving needs. Local and long-distance movers committed to excellence on every move. They also have on-site storage. Begin your next move with a free, no-obligation quote. Call 505-345-8841. That's 505-345-8841. Located at 6900 Washington Street Northeast or online at slateratlas.com.
Serving you and your family day and night. Call Bosky when you want it done right. For heating and cooling, plumbing and more. 24/7 we'll be at your door.
Locally grown, locally owned. Bosky Heating and Cooling. A portion goes back into the community. 444-7200.
For quality service like a breath of fresh air. Call Bosky and we'll be.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. You have heard a word a lot here of late, and that word is essential. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians understand that your car, truck, or SUV is essential to getting you from point A to point B. We are open for business. Our hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget that we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. We are located on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's in Rio Rancho. And I'm here to tell you that the most essential thing in this life is the cross of Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more important to you and I. God saw you as essential and gave his only begotten Son that you would believe in him and have eternal life. Never minimize the cross. It's the centerpiece of the gospel, and never forget the hope you and I have in the empty tomb. I'm John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. We're joined on the program, David and Angela Breitenbach, and on the phone, Mike Wind. He's the Director of Development for the Spiritual Orphans Network. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Oh, hi. I'm well. Thanks for having me on.
Where are you in this world of ours today?
I am in what is typically sunny Destin, Florida, but we are feeling the effects of Hurricane Delta already, and so it's not so sunny.
Well, and I know that you were planning on joining us in studio. We thank you so much for joining us by phone. And, Mike, let's go right to you're the Director of Development for the ministry. Tell me what's happening and how our listeners can come alongside you and help financially, how they can, you know, sign up to take trips and all that entails.
Sure, yeah. And as David and Angela have been describing, we've been just amazed at how many opportunities God is laying at our feet right now. And the challenge really is how do we respond to that? You know, all these opportunities coming our way. And it really forces us to acknowledge that we really can't separate our mission from our resources in any useful way. So really responding to those opportunities requires great resources. And you mentioned money. Of course, that's there always, but it's really not just money. It's time, it's people, it's partnerships, it's networks, and all of those things we really have to be intentional about. And so the many ways to get involved, Angela had mentioned earlier about our website, if you want to give directly there, that's always an option, but what we really want to encourage people to do is get involved personally. And our mission is a little different. You know, we are in it for the long haul. It's a long-term relational ministry, and so the people-to-people part is core to the resources that we have and need.
I have a we have an associate pastor with Calvary Church. He oversees our West Side ministry. His name is Jesse Lusco, and he came on the program a couple days ago to talk about ministry in a secular world, especially when you start talking about Gen X's and Gen Z's and all their whatever ideas that they have. And he said really what you just said. He said ministry really has to happen now by establishing relationships. And he said something as a challenge to Christians. He said, you know that God loves you, but do you know it to the point that you are loving? And it really sounds like that's what you're trying to teach people, and that's what you're trying to deploy into these countries is, Angela said it earlier, people are really needing to be loved.
Desperately.
Talk about those relationships a little bit, David.
They are so vital, and we can talk all that we want. We look at worship services, and the pastor crafts what we hope is a great sermon, and that people will listen. We have engaging music, we have engaging worship, but where the real ministry happens, just like anywhere else, is that one-on-one over a cup of coffee, breaking bread together, spending time together, sharing your life with another person. We've often had it opined where people say, you know, it costs an awful lot of money to go overseas. Why don't you just send them the money? Now, that would help serve some needs, but we're told over and over again by our partners in ministry overseas, we desperately need the fellowship. We need you here with us. That strengthens them. It also gives an incredible witness for the people who are watching in their own communities. It's irreplaceable, that idea of relationship.
Mike, I want to come back to you as the director of development. You don't just appeal to individuals. You also work with churches and things around the country and other kinds of organizations. Tell us a little bit about how those organizations come alongside you.
Yes, and so our donor base is comprised of many different areas, and you've hit on two of those. The organizational side is comprised both of churches, and we work through churches with churches, connecting them through the Spiritual Orphan Network to be able to, you know, just engage their folks in real discipleship. And get a chance to do mission in a way that will bring it back to their congregations and change how they interact in their daily life and how they become everyday missionaries right where they live. And sometimes you have to go somewhere else to do that first. You have to kind of break that barrier some other way. And so that value that comes from that is how churches respond back in support of us. And we also work with national church bodies in various ways as well, supporting them through the same opportunities, providing opportunities for churches to engage in mission, and also to provide different ways for people to engage, whether it's through an English Bible camp experience, or if there's a pastor or someone in a church that wants to have an opportunity to maybe teach other pastors and to mentor other pastors. To provide those connections, interact that way.
How do people get in touch with you if they want to be involved with the ministry, Mike?
If they want to contact me directly, you can find me on the website, but you can always email me at, should I give the email out?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
So it's Mike, M-I-K-E, at... sonet.org. So sonetnetwork.org.
Sounds good. Good stuff. David, I want to come back to you now, and I want to talk to you a little bit about, I always have a concern, or at least I had a concern, you know, when you first visited with us about these English camps. But it was fascinating to hear both of you and Angela talk about how interesting it is for people in these countries to learn English.
They are eager to learn English. It is now compulsory for students to learn English, although it's always out of a textbook and it's being taught to them by one of their own native non-English speakers. And so they covet the opportunity to converse in English. They also recognize the message of grace, love, and hope, and mercy in Jesus Christ. And so if we can combine those two, it makes really great conversations and opens hearts and minds. And so that's very attractive everywhere that we go, that students have an opportunity to spend a week or so with a group of Americans that came of there, and they understand that we come there because we want to, and we love to just spend time together and talk and converse.
Is the culture of communism and socialism just really still present, even though these countries are open, not necessarily all democratic, but they're all
right.
open?
In many ways, and certainly on paper, it's democratic, but that memory is still pervasive, and it's everywhere, particularly when it comes to government, when it comes to any sort of structure, even in public schools, how things are done, and places like Belarus, which still are very much Soviet, and they have that illegitimate president now who stole that election. And we talked with that partner ministry just this morning, some very interesting things happening. So that permeates how they approach problems, how they approach authority, and how they perceive themselves in the whole network of this. And so it's very enlightening to hear that God sees us all the same, mm-hmm. and that we can all be brothers and sisters in Christ, and that opens a whole new world to them.
Right, and that we have value in his eyes, because, mm-hmm. again, that culture completely devalued people. And so to know that you're precious to someone, anyone, and particularly, you know, when they discover how precious they are to their Father in heaven, what he did for us through his Son, that hearts just fly open. To that message.
There's been some effects too, like in the Balkans, where many thousands of men
yes.
were killed.
Yes.
So you don't have a lot of children that were raised with a father.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How has that affected things?
It's affected it tremendously. And just like fatherless homes here in the United States, there's a much higher rate of a child not being successful. And maybe winding up incarcerated or an early death, alcoholism, all of those things. And so that's why we encourage particularly men and young men to be on our teams as a witness. That idea of family is very important. And seeing that they do have a place. So we really we're that has not changed a whole lot. The Soviets were very deliberate about really destroying the family unit, again, so that the power would be directed to the government, mm-hmm. not even within a nuclear family.
Yeah. Mike, you're welcome to join in the conversation anytime, too. Don't feel like you have to direct all your comments through me. We've got about 2 minutes left, and I want to ask again, are there any virtual events coming up, anything that people can participate in? Tell us what's left for the remainder of the year.
We're beginning next Thursday to have an opportunity for people to join us on our Facebook page of a Spiritual Orphans Network. And they can begin meeting some of our partners in ministry overseas. Next week, I believe we're going to have our couple from Albania will join us. But we're also looking at having our Belarusian partners, our Ukrainian partners. All these people win an opportunity to really meet people who are in the trenches overseas.
And if people are still locked down,
yes.
You know, we, for example, in New Mexico, we've had an increase in cases. Here about an hour after our show ends, Governor Lujan Grisham is going to make some announcements, and I just have a feeling that she's not going to be too excited about opening up the state anymore
right.
and maybe locking it down a little bit. So, mm-hmm. in the midst of all of this, people can be really productive in the ministry doing things like you're talking about.
Yes, they can. And we also, for churches that are open, we would love to come and spend a Sunday with your congregation, whether we get pulpit time or not. We'd love to be able to help people understand how they can plug in. And certainly through prayer ministry, but also plugging in virtually. And that first opportunity would be on our Facebook page and, of course, through our website by contacting us with their desires.
And do you want to be contacted through the website?
Preferably. It's
okay.
You can just simply email info@sonnetwork.org. That's, again, Sonnetwork with one N.
info@sonetwork.org, and you can find out more about the Spiritual Orphans Network. I can't get Anna Maria out of my mind
yeah.
in that she was really kind of fun. She was kind of serious.
Yes.
A little bit stoic.
Yes.
But then when she started imitating Americans, it was just hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very that's very typical. Just going to the grocery store here is such a different experience because, you know, we tend to talk to people. Mm-hmm. We tend to ask people how they are, although that can be kind of more of a surface thing. Over there, they just don't do that. They admire that we're that open.
Okay, but Angel, I'm going to say that happens in New Mexico. I've spent some time, and I don't care if you're mad at me if I say this, but in New York, they don't talk to each other. In New Mexico, and this is why we love living
we
here.
We do love
it. Is we like people. We like the flavors. We like the cultures. We want to know about other people.
Yes,
that's true. That's true. But when you ask a European person, particularly of Eastern European descent, someone who's been through communism, how are you today? You had better be prepared to sit down over tea
and
really listen. Because when you ask them that question, they're genuinely taken aback that you are that interested in them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been a real, you asked me earlier, how has that changed me? I really, really value my relationships now even more so.
Mm-hmm.
And recognize the importance of spending time with people.
David, people coming to faith.
Yes. Coming to faith in
Jesus.
Oh, absolutely. And we understand that it's always the work of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We can't bring somebody, we can't have them accept Christ except by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And for some people, it does happen in an instant. For most, it takes some time.
Yeah.
Because they're wary. They watch us over a couple of years mm-hmm. as we come back to see if we're really the real deal.
Yeah.
And it opens hearts.
I want to thank Mike Wind. He is the Director of Development, and Pastor David Breitenbach and his wife Angela with Spiritual Orphans Network for joining us today. You
thank
guys
you.
Are gracious to spend the time you have, and we'll have you back on here mid-November.
Great.
Sounds
good?
Great.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back.